Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we get started, I do want to let you know that today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And in particular, I want to thank Nicole for supporting the program with a one-time donation through support.greatdetectives.net. You can also send a donation with the Zelle app to box13@greatdetectives.net. You can mail in a donation to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. And you can become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters at patreon.greatdetectives.net. A reminder, today is the last day this summer. The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio t-shirt are available. Go to t-shirt.greatdetectives.net. But now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan, the original air date, February 6, 1949. This one is Champagne, Caviar, and Hot Ice.
Time now for Rocky Jordan. Not far from the Mosque Sultan Hassan in Cairo stands the Café Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Café Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with the babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against a backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's story, Champagne, Caviar, and Hot Ice.
It was Friday afternoon and the end of the month. I was sitting in the office of the Tambourine checking my monthly statement from the British Bank of Cairo. Something looked funny. I went over the figures again, checking the withdrawals against the deposits, and the final figure didn't jive. Turned out that I had £250, 1,000 American dollars, more on my account than I should have. Well, that was real pleasant, but I knew it couldn't last. So I put in a call to Hennessy at the bank to tell him about it.
£250, you say?
Yeah, that's what I said.
In your favor? That's almost unbelievable, isn't it? Are you sure, Mr. Jordan?
I went over the statement three times.
But what I'm trying to say, Mr. Jordan, is that we never make a mistake in the depositor's favor.
Well, look, Hennessy, check into it, will you, before I spend the money?
Of course I will, old boy, of course. £150. Mr. Croton will have apoplexy if it's true. I'll call you Monday, Mr. Jordan.
Well, I let it go at that. I had bigger things to worry about. Tourist troubles. Sometimes the Tambourine attracts a class of people it never intended to. I don't know where they hear about my place, but they do. And every once in a while, the champagne and caviar set puts in an appearance. That Friday night, I hit the jackpot. A Russian count with enough money to buy Australia, his actress girlfriend, and their entire entourage, including a 76-year-old chaperone and a small man to open bottles, decided to do a little slumming at the Tambourine. They picked themselves a couple of big tables in the center of the room and proceeded to have a time. Usually, I don't mind a thing like that too much. A party like that makes a big noise on my cash register. But there was something about this one that bothered me. It was the dame. A classy brunette draped in an ermine coat, carrying an ermine-covered pocketbook big enough to hide a bottle of bourbon in. But she also wore a diamond brooch that shone like a Klieg light at a Hollywood preview. It was the kind of thing that could cause trouble.
Mr. Jordan! Mr. Jordan!
Well, the count was calling me, so I moved out from back of the bar and went over to his table.
Mr. Jordan. It is your pleasure to meet me firsthand. I am Count Yukovich.
How do you do?
And this is the most wonderful woman in all the world. An actress who can wring from a man's heart such emotion and such feeling as to make tears come.
Oh, Ivan.
Mr. Jordan, Miss Van Houten. Glory, it is perfectly all right for you to greet this man.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Jordan, I think your cafe is positively quaint. But I mean positively.
I thought you meant quaint.
Quaint? Yes, quaint, it's true. I'm so misunderstood.
Uh-huh.
But I do think your cafe is most enchanting. Why, to tell the moment I stepped in, as the low, flickering lights cast shadows of mystery.
Gloria, this is no time for an audition.
Oh, sorry, Ivan. I was carried away.
Now, look, kids, have fun. I've got some things to do in the back room. If you'll excuse me.
No, Mr. Jordan, sit. I wish you to have the pleasure of drinking with me.
Well, thanks a lot.
No need for thanks, my good man. I do not hold my money against you. A toast! To Gloria von Heusen, a magnificent actress who can break a man's heart with a hiccup. Nazarovia!
I notice, Mr. Jordan, that you're looking at my brooch.
It'd be a little hard to miss.
Most lovely, Mr. Jordan, a family heirloom. Worn once by Her Majesty Catherine of Russia when she was attempting to secure military aid from Louis of France.
I bet she made it.
Now it is a symbol of my love for Miss Von Heusen.
Pretty expensive symbol. Couldn't you have left it at home in a safe?
Oh, of course not, Mr. Jordan. I couldn't go out without it. For I would feel positively naked.
Come, another toast. This one to me. To Count Ivan Ivanovich Lukovich, descendant of the Imperial family.
Rock.
Of the
now, what is it, Chris? A couple of guys at a bar getting tanked. They look a little nasty.
Where? Trouble?
I think so. Come on, let's put a stop to it. Over at the end of the bar, Rock. Those two?
Yeah, the guy with the bottle.
Idiot! Hey, you guys. Put on that chair. Hey, your tongue out! Find yourself a table to crawl under, Chris. We're not going to be able to stop this. Well, they had themselves a real fine affair. They broke a lot of chairs and glasses and turned over a lot of tables. Then someone tripped the lights. They did a lot of fighting in the dark. Then just as suddenly as the fight began, it stopped. When the lights went back on, the tambourine looked like an after picture of a Legion convention. But that's not all. Count Lukovich was still there. So was Gloria Van Heusen in her ermine-covered bag and coat. But the diamond brooch was gone. It didn't take Sam Sabaya, captain of the Cairo police, long to put in an appearance.
No, it's too much. Celebrities such as we honor the city of Cairo by our presence. And now this.
Count Lukovich, I assure you this affair is most regrettable.
Enough. It's not only that the house of Lukovich has been insulted. The heart of a beautiful lady has been broken.
Oh, no, Ivan, you mustn't worry about me. After all, a great actress must learn to suffer.
Captain Sabaya, were you not instructed by high authorities to give us every protection?
That is true, Count Lukovich.
Very well. I warn you, I'm a most big man. Most big. If the brooch is not returned at once, I will see to it personally that you are discharged.
Yes, I quite understand, Count Lukovich.
Come now, my dove. I will take you from this place.
Oh, please do, darling, please. I'm so shaken.
Oh, calm yourself,
Jordan,
Gloria.
Let us go to your office.
Yeah, sure, Sam.
Now, Jordan, what do you know of this affair? Who were those men who started the fight?
Never saw him before in my life.
Jordan, I hope you realize that I will be under great pressure regarding this case.
From the high authorities?
My department was instructed to provide protection for these two celebrities during their stay in Cairo. So you see that my reputation is at stake.
Well, so is mine. This doesn't do the tambourine any good.
Please, Jordan. What I am trying to tell you is that I must produce a suspect in this case, and very soon.
Sure. Find yourself a pigeon, Sam.
It is most interesting that this robbery should happen in your cafe. The light should go out at just the right time.
Hey, wait a minute. What are you driving at?
Only this. If I find the slightest fragment of evidence that you are in any way involved in this affair, I shall make the most of it. Is that clear, Jordan?
Sam wasn't kidding. He was over a barrel. He needed an out, but I wasn't planning on being it. Well, we had quite a job putting the tambourine back in order that night. The count's table was the biggest mess. Broken bottles. Gloria Van Heusen's face powder spread all over the tabletop. Food all over the floor. Well, the next morning I put a call into the insurance company, then went downtown to pick up a new order of chairs. I was going down the Sharia Alfi when I caught a whiff of bourbon walking alongside of me. I looked up. It turned out to be a big man carrying a mashed face. He had a voice like a gravel truck unloading.
Hi, buddy.
I recognized him right away. His name was Victor Sands, and he was a small-time crook trying hard for the big time.
I've been reading about you in the newspapers, Rung.
Yeah, I'm pretty good copy.
That was quite a jewel heist you had yourself down at the Tambourine last night.
Well, just part of the floor show.
Yeah, sure, floor show.
All right, you can stop hatching eggs, Sands. What do you want?
Just a little conversation with my buddy.
And you picked the wrong man.
Oh, no, I didn't, Rocky. You're my buddy. You're on my team.
How do you figure that?
Real easy, pal. I paid you to team up with me.
You've been hitting the bottle pretty hard, Sands. They'll be carting you away.
Oh, just a nip. Celebration on the big deal I just worked out with you and my team.
Well, clear it up for me, will you?
Sure, buddy, sure. Check your bank account lately.
Yeah?
A little bloated, ain't it?
Maybe they're paying high interest rates.
Nah. Know how it got that way? Well, I'll tell you. I wrote you a check for £250, deposited on your account. Had all the necessary signing done by friends.
Well, that's real generous of you.
I figure it's a small price to pay to put you on my team.
Look, I'm still way behind you.
Pretty nice rock I found myself down at the Tambourine last night.
Oh. So you stole the diamond, huh? Hire yourself a couple of boys to start a fight, then lift the jewel.
Something like that.
Well, that's big time for you.
I figured I was ready for graduation.
How did the £250 in my bank account fit?
That's the price I'm paying you to help me get the rock out of the country.
You're a clown, aren't you?
Pretty good plan I got, buddy. You see, you got yourself a couple of cases of Turkish olives from Ankara last week. You just got around to looking at them, and what do you know?
You tell me.
Those ain't the olives you ordered at all. They gotta go back. What do you think goes back to Ankara with them? One slightly hot diamond brooch.
You must have a headache, Sands. All that thinking.
Oh, that don't matter none. Not a bit. When I unload that rock, I figure I'll be able to afford a lot of aspirins.
What if I don't go along?
Ain't I told you, buddy? You ain't got no choice.
Tell me why.
In the first place, the heist was worked in your dump, so Captain Sabaya's looking at you right off.
Go on.
And somehow, real mysteriously, he finds out I've been paying you dough. Now, what's Sabaya gonna say to that? Why's a crumb like me pay you good dough? Because you're working for me. What else?
Your brain's been going overtime.
Like I said, graduation. Now think it over, Jordan. Don't rush. We'll meet again, buddy.
He threw out a grin, then shuffled off. I watched him go down to the corner and climb into an automobile. A bald-headed guy wearing thick horn-rimmed glasses drove him away. I did a little fast thinking. A frame, but how much of it was bluff? Well, it was time to find out. I hustled over to the bank, found Hennessy, and had a little conversation. He checked my account, all right. The £250 did belong to me. A deposit was made of a check signed by Victor Sands, and I did endorse it. At least the signature on the back was a dead ringer for mine. So far, things were working for Sands. I decided to go over to the police station and have a talk with Sabaya. I figured if I could tell him of the frame before it came out, Sabaya wouldn't make it stick. I started down Queen Anne Boulevard, but I didn't get very far. A heavy hand grabbed onto my shoulder. The owner turned out to have a sour face.
Hold up, Jordan.
It was Sabaya's underling, Sergeant Greco, the Cairo police.
Mr. Jordan, I have been looking for you.
I saw a lot of bill collectors.
My business with you is much more important.
Bill collectors don't think so.
Stand still while I see if you have a gun.
What is this? You know I don't carry one.
Perhaps now you do, Mr. Jordan. Now that you have changed your profession.
Clear that up, Greco.
Come cafe owner to jewel thief.
Huh?
You are under arrest, Mr. Jordan. We have just found the stolen diamond hidden in a box of Turkish olives in your kitchen. You should have found a better place to hide it.
You're listening to Champagne, Caviar, and Hot Ice, tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. Mystery and adventure join hands on CBS, and here's what's in store for listeners tomorrow, Monday night, on this same station. At 6, Captain from Castile, a thrilling adventure starring Cornell Wilde and Gene Peters, is brought to you on Radio Theater. It's the radio adaptation from the screen story that finds high adventure in the Cortez conquest of Mexico. You'll enjoy the hour-long Captain from Castile, an absorbing yarn of the 16th century. Now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan, Champagne, Caviar, and Hot Ice.
Well, Well, the police had turned up the Count's stolen brooch in my kitchen. So Vinegar-Faced Greco took me over to the police station and into Sabaya's private office. Sam was sitting in his squeaky chair, looking real official. When he saw me come in, he got up and walked to the police safe and threw it open.
Here is Mr. Jordan, Captain. I found him walking down Queen Anne Boulevard.
Just one moment, Doc. Ah, here it is. Sure. I suppose, Jordan, that Sergeant Greco told you we uncovered the stolen diamond?
Yeah, he said something like that.
I suppose he also told you that we found it hidden in your kitchen.
In a case of Turkish olives.
Do not seem to consider the matter very serious.
You know, I didn't steal the diamond, Sam.
We have enough evidence, Mr. Jordan, to see to it.
Can't you deflate this bag of wind, Sam?
Sergeant, would you see that my car is made ready? Mr. Jordan and I are going for a ride in a moment.
Yes, Captain, I'll attend to it right away.
Jordan, you are aware that you are in serious trouble.
Spend some talk.
The robbery of the brooch took place in your establishment. The stolen property was also found on your premises. Now, you no doubt have an explanation.
And his name is Victor Sands.
And what has he to do with this?
He pulled the snatch and hid the jewel at my place, trying to get me to help him ship it to Turkey.
Would not another explanation be more simple?
Like what?
That you yourself stole the jewel and planned to ship it to Turkey?
Ah, you're off base, Sam.
Jordan, I told you once before, the Count is an important man. I mean to find the thief. And I will find him, Jordan.
Settle down, Sam. You're beginning to scheme.
Very well, Jordan. I will look into this Victor Sands for the sake of what friendship we may have had.
Yeah, that's what I like about you. You're real sincere.
Now, let us go over to see Count Lukovic so that he may identify the brooch.
I'm with you.
And we shall also allow him to decide whether or not he wishes me to hold you, John.
Count Lukovic and Gloria Van Heusen had adjoining suites at the Shepherd Hotel. Sam and I drove over in his limousine. A couple of Cairo's policemen going along. His front men let us in, and there were Lukovic and Gloria Van Heusen having a little supper by the window. The Count didn't care much for the interruption, but when Sam sprung the news, he was more than welcome.
This is most marvelous news. Is it not so, Gloria?
Oh, yes, Ivan. I'm deliriously happy. Dear Captain Savoy, how can we ever thank you?
I was but doing my duty, Miss Van Heusen.
And most excellently, Captain Sabaya, the immortal house of Lukovic is in your debt.
I only regret that you have suffered the inconvenience. You honor me, Count Lukovic.
I will personally see that the right authorities learn of your excellent work. Now tell me, who perpetrated this foul robbery?
Well, they say I did, Count.
You, Mr. Jordan?
Yeah. The brooch was found in my cafe.
So, that was your gratitude for our honored visit to your dive of iniquity. How dare you touch the token of love from Lukovic?
Take it easy, Count. Sabaya knows I didn't do it.
Silence! Captain Sabaya, take this common thief from my presence. Place him behind bars at once.
Oh,
Count Lukovic, you wish to swear out a warrant, then?
Most certainly. I will personally see that this man Jordan rots in the foulest dungeon.
Oh, Ivan, darling, we have the brooch now. That's all that matters. Couldn't we forget it?
No, I will never forget it. This ingrate must be punished.
But, darling, a sordid court trial. It would be so distressing. My nerves could never stand it. They couldn't.
My poor broken flow.
And the awful, awful publicity. Oh, Ivan. Ivan, haven't I suffered enough?
Very well. You are most fortunate, Mr. Jordan. You may release me.
As you say. But, Jordan, I must warn you to be available.
Sure, Sam. I'll stick around.
I'll get it. Hello? Oh, yes, he's here. I'll put him on. It's for you, Captain Sabaya.
Thank you, Captain Sabaya. Yes,
sir. Mr. Jordan, you said the diamond was found in your cafe.
Gloria, do not speak to this man.
Where was it hidden?
In my kitchen. Figure that one out, Miss Van Heusen.
Oh, silence, you thief!
If you will both excuse me, there is an urgent matter at headquarters.
Of course, Captain Sabaya.
Please do not hesitate if I can be of further service. Good day. After you, darling.
What's that, Sam?
More of the usual trouble. A man with 3 bullet holes in his body has just been fished out of the Nile, named Heinzman. He's in the morgue now.
Let's have a look at him.
Please, I have had enough of your company for today.
Sam, I'm being a good boy. You told me to stick around.
A
As you wish, Jordan.
I crowded into the limousine with Sam and his uniformed playmates, and we went back to headquarters. We went downstairs to the morgue and had a look at Heinzman. Sergeant Greco's latest catch from an aisle. I didn't enjoy the sight, but I kept looking. He was puffy, bald-headed, and had worn thick horn-rimmed glasses. I'd seen this man alive just the day before as he drove off down the Sharia Alfi with Victor Sands. Well, Victor Sands was the man with a lot of answers, and it was time for some conversation with him. It took me a couple of hours of digging to turn him up, but I finally did. He was holed up in a small dive off the Sharia Lopar, dipping into an afternoon booze bottle. I sat down across the table from him. He didn't seem surprised to see me.
Hiya, buddy. Been expecting you.
Yeah, I made it sooner, but I was tied up.
Don't matter now. Hey, you want a drink?
Yeah, drink later, Sands. Let's talk now.
Sure, buddy. What's on your mind?
Guy named Heinzman.
Funny name, ain't it?
Funny guy. Police just fished him out of the Nile.
Couldn't swim, huh?
It's hard to with bullet holes in him.
Yeah, that'll weigh you down every time.
Why'd you kill him, Sands?
Oh, how can you ask me that, buddy, when I didn't even know the guy?
I saw you get into his car yesterday after we had a little talk in the street.
Well, see, an optometrist, buddy. You got bad eyes.
I suppose you also don't know anything about a jewel heist that took place in my cafe the other day.
Sure, I do. I know lots about that. I've been reading the paper.
Maybe you need a memory refresher.
Let go, buddy. You're just going to create a lot of bad feelings.
I'm going to create a lot more than that. Tell me, Sands, what happened to your big plan to get me to help you ship the rock to Turkey?
I had a plan like that.
Yeah, that's close to it.
You got me mixed up with somebody else, buddy. I didn't even know there was such a rock till I read about it in the paper.
Okay, Sands. Maybe you don't have to say anything. There's a check at the British Bank of Cairo right now, signed by you, made out to me, paying me to help you with the heist. Remember that?
Oh, that. Didn't I tell you what that's for? Oh, sure I did. You forgot.
Give it to me again.
Well, that's the payoff for the party I'm throwing at the tambourine. I got 150 of my friends to back me up. Are you telling, Jordan?
Conversation got real dull after that, so I went on out. I was interested to know what a guy like Victor does around Cairo, so I waited a few doors down and he came outside. I trailed along and had myself quite a day. He stopped a while at a barber shop, spent some more time at another bar, then went into a movie. We sat through the picture twice. When I followed him out, I started to get wiser. Suddenly dawned on me that Victor was leading me around to keep me away from something else. Maybe that was the idea from the beginning, when he planted that money in my bank account. Maybe that was so I'd be suspicious of him and not of somebody else. So I decided to drop Victor and do a little digging into the history of the dead Dutchman, Heinzman. Figured he could supply some of the missing pieces. Over in Bulak, along the waterfront, there's a dive where you can buy anything. A wife, some dreams, or information. Just sit there with a pound note showing, and the seller will come to you. I sat there for a couple of hours. First, somebody trying to sell me a wife, but I wasn't in the market. I wasn't there for dreams, either. It was closing in on night when I had company once again. A worn-out babe of 50 with leftover beauty and an eye for the future through a Christmas ball eased up the table and sat down.
Information?
Yeah, that's right, Shirley.
I am fortunate to have powers beyond the realm of mortal man.
Or woman, as the case may be.
You look in my crystal ball and see all. When the veil is lifted, then...
I am. This pound note lifted?
Just the right distance.
Tell me about a bald-headed Dutchman who wears thick horn-rimmed glasses. His name is Heinzman.
I see him well. But his name is not... It is Schutt.
Oh, I don't care about his name. Tell me about his occupation.
Oh, Anna Maria Henry. I fear the veil is not lifted high enough.
Yeah. All right, here. Here's another pound.
Now, I see you, Hannibal, in South America. I see that he is a jeweler. I see that he must leave Johannesburg very quickly. It seems that the Schutt was proficient in the art of trading.
You can ring down the veil, girlie. I got another.
Oh, but Cindy, I can say so much more.
Go ahead if you want to. I won't be here to listen. It only took me 25 minutes to get over to Victor's apartment. I didn't ring the bell because my thumb was sore. I just used my shoulder to push in the door. Even this time, he didn't seem surprised to see me.
Is that why you wear such big shoulder pads, buddy?
Yeah, comes in handy.
You sure go around creating a lot of enemies. My landlady's gonna hate you.
And she'll hate you too, buddy. Remember, we're on the same team.
Look, I get tired of explaining.
Then listen to some news. You haven't read this in the papers yet.
I'll get one in the corner. Now beat it.
About your friend Heinzman. Jeweler.
I told you he don't ring a bell.
Clever fellow, that Heinzman. Did a good job making a phony diamond brooch to match the real one. Nobody could tell the difference, could they?
I wouldn't know.
After that, switching him was easy for you. Nobody'd ever know.
Go back to your tambourine and kill a bottle, buddy. You're all confused.
Not anymore. When your boy started to fight in my cafe and flipped the lights, you pinched the brooch. Heinzman's phony was planted in my kitchen, just begging the police to come and find it. Then it could be returned to the count, and he'd think he had the real one back.
Only half right, buddy.
So he'd lock up a phony, and you'd be waltzing off with a real one. Where is it, Victor? Around here someplace?
Keep away from that drawer, buddy.
Which drawer? This one?
Okay, buddy, so you want to play handy?
Victor dived head on, and all three of us, Victor, the drawer, and I went to the floor. His fingers were on my throat, and he was playing for keeps. My knees slammed up against the table. Then we were on our feet, fighting my way. I let him sweat out the alcohol for a little, then I decided to finish the round. He tried some inside stuff, so I tested his stomach and then caught him on his mashed finger. He got up too slow, so I dragged him to his feet and swung again. He piled up in a corner and stayed there. The next thing I saw on the floor was a diamond brooch, the Count's stolen jewel. But it had lost some of its luster. Then I saw why. It had rolled out of a powder box. A woman's powder box with a hunk of ermine stuck in the cover. That's where the gem had been hidden, and suddenly I remembered the face powder spread all over the tabletop after the fight in the tambourine. Then the other half of the answers came to me. I called Sabaya, and we deposited Sands in the cooler and hightailed it over to the Count's suite at the Shepherd Hotel. Gloria and the Count were both there. We had some conversation.
Brooch? My diamond brooch? Where did you get it?
You may thank Mr. Jordan for recovering it, Count.
Well, how could it be recovered if it was not lost? I myself just a few hours ago put it in the safe.
And the one you put in the safe, Count, is still there.
I do not understand.
You want to tell him about it, Gloria? Hey, curtain speak.
I have nothing to tell him, nothing. Between us, we do not need words. A look is enough to tell what each of us has in his heart.
Oh, gentlemen, better she is than the greatest of brooch actresses.
But not so hot as a jewel thief.
Jewel thief? What do you mean?
Ivan, don't listen to him. He's just talking.
Enough of this. Come, Jordan, tell the Count and let's have done with it.
Well, this girlfriend of yours did a tie-in with Victor Sands. They got a Dutchman named Heinzman to make a copy of your brooch.
Lies! 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 Nibbled to death by tiny lies.
She wore the real brooch to my place the other night. The fight started and the lights went out. She slipped the real brooch into her powder box. The phony was planted so it would turn up and be returned to you as the real one. You wouldn't know the difference. Then Gloria and Victor would hightail it out of the country with the real brooch.
No, I do not believe it. She would not deceive me like that. Tell me, Victor. Tell me it is not true.
Doesn't matter what she says, Count. Victor's got a speech to make, too. He's not going to take the rap alone. You know, there's Heinzman's murder on the docket, too.
His. Remove her from the eyes of the Count, Captain.
Well, you. Come along. My limousine is waiting for us.
Ivan, my God. There will be so many empties tomorrow. But don't be sad, my sweet. What is a lost love but a golden opportunity to love you? Come, my Captain.
Woman for you, Mr. Jordan. A woman. She leaves me with a bleeding heart.
Well, some other dame will come along and give you a transfusion.
But how could she do this to me? How could she deceive me? Me, a descendant of the imperial family. How could this happen to me?
You got me, Count.
But then, why should it not happen to me? After all, Mr. Jordan, this is a terrible admission to make, but...
No, I can guess. The real brooch is a phony, too.
Made for me by a glassblower in Brooklyn, USA. Come, Mr. Jordan, you may watch me become inebriated.
It's CBS again at the same time next week for another story of adventure and intrigue when we take you back to Cairo and the Cafe Tambourine run by Rocky Jordan. Jack Moyle plays the title role with story by Larry Roman and Gomer Cool. Rocky Jordan is produced and directed by Cliff Howell with original music by Richard Avant. Larry Thor speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Rocky Jordan's not necessarily the world's best bookkeeper when it comes to reconciling his statement. Because when I'm looking at my statement and I see I've got a 250-pound overage, and therefore I've been keeping track of all my transactions, I would also see on the statement a 250-pound deposit that I didn't make. So maybe there might be some connection there. Now we turn to listener comments and feedback, and Linda has some thoughts on the last episode of the airmail mystery. I just heard your closing commentary on the airmail mystery. Must comment on the in-flight repairs. I don't know about this particular repair, but in-flight repairs were not unknown. My father-in-law was in the Navy during World War II and was a mechanic. The Navy has a flying fleet. On one flight, the plane developed a mechanical problem and was losing altitude. The commander asked my father-in-law whether he thought he could fix the problem, and the only possible answer was yes, sir. He crawled into the wing to diagnose and fix the problem in time to avoid a crash. I'm sure he was not the only one to perform such a feat. Thanks again for your shows. Well, thanks so much, Linda. And I do appreciate the comment regarding in-flight repairs. I think probably the one that would be more concerned, because you said your father-in-law crawled into the wing. What I think is harder for me to grasp, and maybe this is something that there is a way of making work, is it seemed to me like in that episode that he was going outside of the plane while it was in flight to make the repair. Steven writes in regarding the airmail mystery on Facebook. Really enjoyed this series. Well, glad you liked it, Steven. And that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie. And then next Tuesday, we'll be bringing you more episodes of Nick Carter. And then next Wednesday, another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to Box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.